I want to reemphasize how delighted we are that you are here today. And for those watching online, we welcome you. We are very, very thankful that you are with us today as well. So I've done a horrible job communicating with Larry. Larry and I talk, we text all week long, we talk about what's coming up. And so we started planning back in August for this series on fear. This series on fear was designed to last 4 weeks, but I had to be gone one of those 4 weeks, so we decided to make it last 5 weeks, and then I decided to add another lesson to that series, and so that series lasted 6 weeks. And when I was telling Larry what I was preaching this week, he thought it was part of this fear series, and then this morning he mentioned I'm taking a break from it. I need to make myself a little more clear. We are done with fear, okay? We're done with that series. I don't want to go into December talking and preaching about fear. So that series is over. I think we learned a lot from it. I appreciate your many, many comments about it and your encouraging words about it. But you know, December is not a time for fear. December is a time for happiness and joy and all the good things that go with it. And I think about that, and I think about all the fun that we have here and the good things we get to be a part of. And I started thinking a few weeks ago about classic Christmas TV programs, about TV programs. Both of my sons have cut cable, and they're now using YouTube TV as their television. They tried to convince me to join them, and you know how much I like technology. I'm not the one you have to convince. There's another person who lives in the house you have to convince of that. And they started talking about it, and one of my daughter-in-laws said the other, the only thing is, it doesn't have the Hallmark channel on it. Yes! I'm all in. And my other daughter-in-law said, but you for $5 more, you can add it. I thought, oh no, I'm back out. Well, have you noticed all those Hallmark movies? They have a pattern that they take on. I mean, there's always an evil character that's wanting to hurt Christmas, and that evil character may take on many different names. Bonus points if you know the name of the abominable snowman from Rudolph. Who knows it? Nobody? Bumble, thank you. One person here that's up on their aficionado information here. There's always an evil character that's trying in some way or another to do something. And then there's always an individual that is either the hero of the show or that real sweet person that needs a hero in their life. There's a protagonist and there's the hero. There's the individual that needs hope in their life. And Christmas can't be taken away because we need hope in our life, because we need joy. And Christmas, it seems in all these movies, is always in trouble. I mean, it's going to be skipped, or it's going to be left, or there's not enough joy in the world, the joy meter's not high enough, or whatever. Christmas is always going to go away because of something that's going on. Well, it happened this year, but it didn't happen with Christmas. It happened with Thanksgiving. In fact, I want to show you some of what happened with Thanksgiving. Many people in our world seem to skip Thanksgiving. They went right from taking the Halloween decorations down, whatever those are, to putting Christmas decorations up. And I was driving home the week after Halloween a few weeks ago on Sunday night from our classes here. I was driving home, and driving home, I noticed on the street next to ours, there were 8 houses, and 7 of the 8, the night after Halloween, already had their Christmas decorations up. Now, just a quick poll. How many of you put your Christmas decorations up earlier this year than you have in past years? All right, several of you. Some of you are kind of halfway admitting it. I see you. You're hiding your little light there. But it's been nationwide. People skipping out the Thanksgiving, just going right into Christmas. They don't have anything to do with it. You know, let's get by with it. Most people agree with this turkey that they could just skip it. It was okay with them. In fact, Huffington Post had a lead article, "Psychologists Explain the Benefits of Decorating Early for Holidays." The Washington Post had a headline, "It's Dark Outside, Families Are Putting Christmas Lights Early to Offset the Gloom." That was last Tuesday, they put that out. The New York Times put out, "How Early is Too Early to Put Up Holiday Decorations." In the Washington Post story, there was this quote, "There are health benefits to putting up lights early. Holiday lights and decorations can help bolster people's moods and fend off seasonal depression." And Kristen Carpenter, chief psychologist at Ohio State University Medical Center, said, "At a time when people are encouraged to stay distant from others, holiday lights can bring a sense of community among friends and neighbors and friends. Anything that we can add into this world right now that builds positive emotions states we all need that right now." I agree with her last part. But I believe that Thanksgiving adds joy and positive thoughts into our lives. Yes, indeed, we need something lighter. We need something positive. We need something that is optimistic. So today in the lesson, after 6 weeks of going through fear, I thought I would do something a little lighter with the outline. If you got an outline, if you didn't, and if you're at home, you can still print that off from the email that you got. And if you get those emails, let us know and we'll add you to the list. If you're here and you didn't pick up an outline, I hope you'll pick them up. I did them for you, so I hope you'll pick them up each Sunday when you come in. But I wanted to do something just a little bit lighter, and I wanted you to know that lighter doesn't mean insignificant. What we're going to talk about today is not insignificant. Thanksgiving is valuable. Why is Thanksgiving so important? Now, I'm going to play off the holiday, but I want you to realize as we work through this lesson, the holiday is really not what I'm playing off. I'm playing off something much bigger. I'm playing off the spirit of individuals remembering to be thankful. In fact, if you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is the chapter that I believe, more than any other chapter in all the New Testament, unfolds how deep man can sink into sin, how deeply we can go into a lifestyle that is anti-God in every way. And the very first thing he says was, they did not glorify God. He's speaking of the wicked and the unrighteous and ungodly. And he says, that's verse 17, he says, the very first thing that happened in their lives is they did not glorify God as God, and then watch this phrase, neither were they thankful. They weren't thankful. And then he goes through, it's almost like a downward spiral into how sinful man can be. And I want you to notice today that really the beginning of sin in our lives begins when we stop being thankful. When we think we're too big to be thankful, or it's not important for us to be thankful, or that's just a sideline event. Let's get into deeper theology. Let's get into hard-hitting subjects. Let's deal with political issues. Let's deal with matters out there that are social. Let's deal with all these matters, folks. God says the very first step into life that is as deep in sin as you can get is forgetting to be thankful. So why should we be people of thanksgiving? Number one, because simply said, God says we are to be thankful. In fact, there are over 100 verses in your Bible where God says that His people are to be thankful people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 was the first one that popped into my mind, where He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful." Man, I wish we had a whole service to spend on this particular verse. It is a rich resource. He gets to our hearts, not just our minds, but our hearts here. He also gets to this one body concept we're going to come back to in a few minutes. But what I want you to notice right now for this point is that peace and thankfulness run on parallel tracks. Peace and thankfulness run on parallel tracks. And if you are not a thankful person, it is probably going to be challenging in your life for you to find peace. And I see it all around me. I see it all the time. People who spend their life in one drama after another, they're never thankful. They can always find the complaint. They can always find the gripe. They can always find what's wrong in culture. They can always find where we've fallen short. They can always find where something's bad. They rarely say thank you. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, so elders, get ready. This is dangerous. But when I start getting emails from people about something I've said or done, those emails never come from people who are appreciative people. They come from people who have a track record of always being negative about everything. You will not find peace in your heart if you are not a thankful person. You realize that? Those two run parallel to each other. God said be thankful, but he didn't just say it just to hear himself talk. Of course, he could if he wanted to. He's God. He said it because it's true. There are a couple other verses, giving thanks to God the Father for everything, Ephesians 5, verse 20. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, could we put down a peg here for just a moment? And I want to be very careful with my words here. I am so tired of this. And you are too. Whether you're watching at home today or you're sitting in this assembly, you're really sick and tired of being apart from people, aren't you? You're tired of being apart from people you love. There are people in this church I've not seen in 6 to 8 months. I'm tired of it. Now, this is not said, please understand, this is not said to put pressure on any individual to come back that is scared and at risk. Don't. But I'm tired of this. And see, my fear is, and I mentioned this last week, but I want to reiterate it today, is that if you're a watcher, praise God that you are. I'm thankful that you are. But there are some of you who are using this as an excuse to just be a watcher. It becomes more convenient to watch than to be present. And if that's the case, that is wrong. And the danger of just watching, of making worship more like a television show than praise to the Creator of all the universe, the danger of that in your heart is that you do not grow healthy lungs spiritually. You're not able to breathe spiritually. You're not able to breathe in the riches of God. You're not growing spiritually. Now, this verse highlights this in such a beautiful way. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I hope before God that you are grateful for His kingdom, that you're thankful for it. Isn't it neat that he ties together this concept of being thankful to our understanding of the kingdom that we've received? Friends, the church is significant. And no social commentator, no talking head on television, no agnostic or atheistic spokesperson can negate that in your heart, in my heart, because God says the church is significant. All right, we need to move on. One more verse, that verse in 1 Chronicles, but real quickly, number 2. We need to practice thanksgiving in our lives because we have enough of this in our life. All right, quick poll. Who in the audience loves spam? Oh my, I just defriended several people. It's not that you don't like me, I don't like you. That stuff is nasty. Here's my spam story, okay? We grew up eating it. We were poor, we couldn't afford anything else. I think that's why we ate it. But my brother, when he got in high school, 2 years older than I, and before football practice, we had a 30-minute period of time after school start was over to run to the gym and get in our football gear and get back on the field and start running and hitting each other and all that. 30 minutes. My brother Carrie would run to the convenience store just down the road from the school and buy him a half gallon of milk and a can of Spam. Now, some of you know what that meant. Tom, nobody wanted to hit Carrie. He might explode, okay? Now, Spam is not just a product. It's become a buzzword. It's become a word that we use in technology to represent something that we really don't want, but we get over and over again, and some people really get frustrated with Spam. I just hit delete. That's the easy thing to do. I don't get frustrated with it. But we have enough Spam in our life. We have enough negative in our life. We have enough stuff in our life that we don't want. We need Thanksgiving in our life because there is enough junk and enough negative impressions in our life that we need to move on from them. In fact, Harvard Business Review said that it takes nearly 5.78 positive comments to counteract one negative comment. My friends, there are people in your life right now who need Thanksgiving from you because their life is full of negative. And whether you're here in present or you're watching at home, I hope at this time, right now, that you are taking the time to make contact with others. Some of you are saying, nobody contacted me. Well, who are you contacting? That you're taking time to make contact with other people to let them know you're thankful for them. I hear from you, oh, I'm missing everybody. Yes, I am too. But are you letting anybody else know that? Are you letting those people that you're missing know you miss them? Not in a high-pressure way, but in a simple way of, I love you and I miss you. I do. Right now, we have enough negative going on. We could all amen that. That we need Thanksgiving in our life because we need some positive in our life. I think Ephesians 4:29 illustrates this perhaps as well as anything. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What about your words? Are you speaking words that are Spam words, just thrown out there without any meaning, or words of thanksgiving that will build up the person that you're around? Number three, we need Thanksgiving in our life because of this. Now, I know there's one person in this room other than myself that knows what this is. There are probably more than that. How many have ever eaten at the Golden Rule Barbecue? Started back in the early 1900s as a little roadside barbecue stand. They're all over the great state of Alabama right now. Golden Rule Barbecue. We need Golden Rule Barbecue in our lives. Not really. What we need is we need the Golden Rule in our life. And the reason we need to practice Thanksgiving in our life is because we need the Golden Rule in our life. I don't mind having a little barbecue in my life, but I like the phrase, the Golden Rule. That's not a Bible phrase, but it is a Bible verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says, therefore you should treat people in the same way you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. The old King James says it fulfills the law and the prophets. I like the old King James there better simply because it gives the idea of, it sums up, it completes the law and the prophets. It tells us this is what the law and the prophets is about. And what the law and the prophets is about is this, treating people like you want to be treated. And when you do something kind for someone, or you go out of your way for someone, or you do something nice, you want people to say thank you. I purposely did not go into Jesus' story of the lepers today, but even Jesus himself, you know that, wanted people to be thankful for what he did. You need people to be thankful to you, so you need to be thankful to other people. This is the law and the prophets. This sums it up. This is the totality of what was going on there. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, folks, Christianity has taken a lot of hard hits the last several generations. And it pains me to see the hits that it's taken. But many of them have come simply because those of us who are Christians have not treated people like Christ would treat them. We've not even done the courtesy of treating them like we want to be treated. Start treating people right. Thanksgiving is important in our lives because it reminds us of the Golden Rule of being thankful for the people in our life. Be honest. You need Thanksgiving in your life. You need people in your life to say, I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. If you're a business owner today, or an employer employing people today, I know some business owners have the mentality of, well, I pay my employees, that should be enough. So is that enough for you as a business owner? Do you want people you serve to say thank you? They paid for your product, should they say thank you for it? They paid for your services, should they say thank you for it? You know you want that. The golden rule says give it back. Those who lead at school, those who teach, those who are support people in organizations all over our community, it is not about other people and what they do to you. It is about what you do toward other people, because that's how you would want them to treat you. A friend of mine called me the other day. He said, talking about an individual who had been fired from their job, he said, I don't know what to say to her. And I said, what would you want said to you? And he raffled off. Is that what it says? That's what you say to her. How would you want someone to treat you? That's how you treat them. The golden rule is as simple as can be. And it bears out the fact, number four, because of this versus this. Now, if I ask most of the boys in this room which of the two they would want, most of them would probably say this one, say that one right there. They want that Lamborghini there, Maserati. Don't remember which it was. They want that nice sports car. But if I ask most of the people here that have studied anything about economics at all, which do they want? They want the house. Now, what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? You see, the second you drive a car off the showroom floor, its value, its trade-in value, drops somewhere around 30%. 30%. And it doesn't start going up until it's an antique car. It keeps going down from then on out. The day you buy a house, in all likelihood, it starts appreciating. It starts going up in value. Now, what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? It's real simple. It's appreciation versus depreciation. Depreciation versus appreciation. You see, we need Thanksgiving in our life because we need appreciation in our life. We understand appreciation. Something goes up in value. The things you invest in, you hope they appreciate. We also understand depreciation. It goes down in value. And we need Thanksgiving in our life because we need the things, the people in our life, to increase in value, not to decrease in value. We need Thanksgiving in our life. Somebody said, give me an example of how we should be thankful. Well, I'll give you about 10 here. There are about 10 great verses right there that talk about appreciation and how it is needed in our life. I wish we had time today to walk through every one of them. But simply put, God has said over and over again, whether it is God himself or God's servants or God's people or people who honor God, appreciation is always at the center of their life. Who do you appreciate? Who are you showing appreciation to? Who are you increasing their value because you say to them, I'm thankful for you. I appreciate what you do. What you do means a lot. Thank you for what you're doing in your life. Thank you for how you're living your life. Thank you for your efforts to live for God. The most beautiful verses of those are these twin verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And there's an identical verse almost to both of those in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 13 or chapter 2 verse 13. And it's kind of neat because it's this, Paul writes to this church and he says, I appreciate you. And then he starts listing reasons that he appreciates that church at Thessalonica. Could you give a list to someone of why you appreciate them? That is why Thanksgiving is important. Number five, give a little, get a little. You see, the Bible is really clear that as you give, it will be given back to you. How you give will come back to you. How you treat others will come back to you. It's not karma. It's not that Hindu concept. It's not a Bible concept. It's a Bible concept that the Hindus picked up on and tried to adopt it. The reality is that as we give, we will receive. That's what Jesus says. So my challenge to you today is really simple. Practice intentional thanksgiving. Starting now in your life, begin to practice intentional thanksgiving. This week, practice intentional. Will you do that with me? Are you listening today? Will you practice intentional thanksgiving? You see, the holidays passed, and some of you are kind of skipped it already. Maybe you spent 30 seconds around the table talking about what you're thankful for. Will you begin this week, and this week, focus, decide right now, here are five times, five ways, five people upon whom, with whom, at what I will practice intentional thanksgiving. That's my challenge to you this week. I wonder how different our lives would look if we practice thanksgiving every single day. Will you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for this day, for all the ways you've blessed us. Father, we could never say completely and fully enough how thankful we are for you. But Father, we're also thankful for the people you put in our life. And help us to start intentionally practicing thanksgiving in our lives. For that to mean something to the people around us. And Father, help it to mean something to our lives. May we find greater peace in our lives because we're practicing this. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at this number. If you're in the audience today and you have a prayer request, you can meet any of our shepherds as you leave today at a door, and they will take time to pray with you. Or if you would like to come forward and have this whole family here pray for you, we'll pray for you as a family. If we can help in any way, will you come as together we stand to sing?